We turn now for our scripture reading to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. The scripture reading is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, reading from the verse 16 through to the verse 31. This is the word of Almighty God. Come, let us hear his holy word. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whosoever keepeth his mouth, and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty, scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. Amen. This is the word of Almighty God, and may the Lord bless his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and sacred word. May he do so for the glory of his name and to the everlasting good of our never-dying soul. Congregation, turning once again your prayerful attention to the words which I read in your hearing from Proverbs chapter 21, having read from the verse 16 through to the verse 31. The Lord enabling me, I take for my text this evening the words found in the verse 16. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Proverbs 21. And the 16th verse, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. This, dear friend, is a very solemn word to us all here tonight. These are sobering and searching words. May the Holy Spirit search our hearts tonight as we come under the sound, under the preaching of God's word. May we have dealings with our own hearts and dealings with God as we attend to this verse. I this evening want to set before you, as we see here in this verse, three simple yet profound realities that are set before us this evening contained in this verse. Let me give you the brief outline as I see it. First of all, we have the man that wandereth. We read the man that wandereth out of the way. And then secondly, from the way of understanding. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. And we'll consider by God's help what that means. And then thirdly, what is true and what shall be true and what shall be the consequence? And what is the state of such a one even now? The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And those will be the points. The man that wandereth the way of understanding that he departs from, and such a one shall remain in the congregation of the dead. And I remind you from the word of God that there are the congregation of the righteous and that of the wicked. In the Psalm 1, those truths are set before us, that the wicked shall not stand in the congregation of the righteous or the just. And before we come to this particular proverb, the book of Proverbs in itself contains many, many searching truths. It is all truth. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And it is thus sharper than any two-edged sword. It is the word of God, and thus it is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and of the marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is given by inspiration of God. It searches our souls, and we shall be judged by this word. How much more if we have heard the word of God and we have not acted upon it? Now, contained in the wisdom literature, which we call Psalms, Proverbs, Book of Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon, all of these point to the way of salvation in one way or another. There are so many verses that we can find in the book of Proverbs that teaches us about the way of righteousness. They point us to Jesus Christ and the need of a Savior. We indeed read here of this way that this man wanders from, the way of understanding, and we'll consider that tonight. In Proverbs, we see certainly what a saved man looks like and what a wicked man looks like time and time again. And you'll notice as you go through Proverbs, you have verses that serve as contrasts and comparison between the just and the unjust. Almost throughout, you have these contrasts and comparisons, what the righteous are like and what the unrighteous are. For instance, if you notice in the verse 15, the verse previous to the verse 16 here, you'll see what I'm saying. It is a joy to the just, that is the justified, to do judgment. Now, when we think of the word there, judgment, as you know, I've said time and time again from this pulpit, when the just do judgment, that is, they are merciful, they come in and they help. We think of the book of Judges. When the people erred, God sent a judge, a deliverer. The just man, the righteous, those that have been made righteous, those that are saved by grace, he loves to bring in judgment. He loves to help. He loves to do good. It is a joy to the just or the justified to do judgment. But destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Do you see the contrast? The unsaved man, he's a worker of iniquity. He does not have a kind and benevolent heart, such as the just. The just love to do good. They are merciful. Why? Precisely because they have been shown mercy. They are poor in spirit. They are just because they have been justified. The just shall live by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Now, while we see many verses in the book of Proverbs that have these contrasts and comparisons between the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unrighteous, same, just different words. There are some verses that stand out on their own and that give a description of either the just or the unjust. And certainly, if you look at the verse 16, such is a verse. Here is a word about a lost man, and it gives his end. It speaks to the way he acts and lives in this world, and it shows forth his end. What is his end? Who is he now? And what is his end? And so it really deals with a lost person, and that is why I feel that I've been led to minister from this verse a gospel sermon. Because not only do we see the way of the unrighteous, the wicked man, the unsaved, he who remains in his sin, he who will not come to God, he who will not repent and go on in the way of understanding, but we see his end as well. And I hope if you're not saved, the Lord will open your eyes to this. This evening, so as we begin, we notice the man here is described as the man that wandereth. So first of all, The man that wandereth. Now, there are many Bible verses that speak to the very fact that those who are unsaved are wanderers. And what you'll notice here in this verse, that the word wandereth is what we call an operative word. Notice, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. So when I say it is an operative word, what I mean is this. The word there, wandereth, is a word on which the whole verse hinges. Everything is determined by this word. The man that wandereth. Not just any man. Not just any woman. Not just any boy. Not just any girl. But the person that wandereth. This is his end. It's an operative word. I hope you see that. So everything else really is crucially held around this word. It's descriptive of the man, and it also determines his woeful end. The man that wandereth. The Hebrew word is the word tohu, and it literally means one who errs, one who will not be restrained, one who may even be taught the truth. He knows the truth, but he will wander away from it. You know, we come into this world as wanderers. We come into this world as those who have strayed from the Lord. Isaiah 53, the verse 6 tells us, all we like sheep have gone astray. Each one has turned to his own way. Our crass individual way of sin. And there it's speaking about those who God saves, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So we all, in one sense, come into this world wandering from God, kicking against his word, not wanting to know the way of righteousness. Many times, as you know, in the word of God, it pictures us as animals, as sheep, as asses, going astray. In Job 24:5, we read, behold, as wild asses in the desert. That is how natural man is. He's like a donkey. You can't move him. It describes sinners who constantly go astray. Remember what the psalmist says? He says, the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born. That is us by nature. You don't teach your little children how to sin. They come forth as sinners, not only rebelling against God, but rebelling against their parents. Rebelling against what's right, this is the natural disposition of the human soul. We're wanderers. This word wandereth is also sometimes translated as to err. For instance, in that longer psalm, the Psalm 119, right at the end of that psalm, we read, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, he is backslidden, he is erred, but his whole life is not pictured as a wanderer. Granted, Christians, we stray from the one we love at times, but we come back. We long for him. But this is not the case with the unsaved person. He is constantly, as it were, wandering. He doesn't live a life close to God, obeying God's commandments. He may even believe the gospel. He may even believe it to be true, but the gospel is more than believing. The gospel really begins with repentance. And repentance means you turn from self. You deny yourself. And you follow God. Repentance is not a one-off thing in your life. When you become a Christian, you stop wandering. You stop wandering. And you start following. You start following God. In Jude, verse 13, we read this about those who were lost and those who were even evil teachers. Jude writes, they are raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. They may even know something of the truth, but they'll err, they'll wander from the truth, and they'll have their own doctrines. And there are many like this who would call themselves Christians, but they have their own doctrines. They err from the truth. And they never submit, they never yield to God. And so here we read, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. This is the second point. And so we come now, what is this way of understanding? The man that wanders from the way of understanding. What is the way of understanding? Well, firstly, it's the way of God's word. Let me show you. Psalm 119, the verse 130. It's a well-known verse. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. This is where we get understanding. We come into the world wondering. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. If we reject God's truth, we have heard it, we know what to do. God says, he that knoweth to do good and doth not do it, it is sin. And that person is a person that is wandering. But it is the word that giveth understanding. So to depart, the man that goes out of the way of understanding is the person that departs from the word of God. That's the first thing we can say. The person that says, yes, I'm a Christian, but I'll do my own thing. They sport themselves to be a Christian, but they say, I'll live this life how I want to live. And I will pick and choose bits of the Bible that I want to live by. And I'll ignore the rest. Well, you've wandered out of the way of understanding, haven't you? You've not receiving the whole counsel of God. So first of all, it is to wander away from the Word of God. And if you are here tonight and you're unsaved and you do not receive this Word, I say, first of all, you have indeed rejected the Word of understanding and you are foolish. God's Word is wisdom. It's knowledge and it gives us the way of salvation. It's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by the works of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It is by grace that we're saved. It's not by our own lives, but it's by Him. But the gospel is more than that. Gospel is far more than that. And we'll get to that in a moment. But here is a man, first of all, that does not follow God's words. He follows his own ideas, his own ways. This is why we read in Proverbs 3 in the verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart, so thou shalt find favor and do good. And shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. But sadly, how many people lean on their own understanding? How many people, and you feel like shaking them. Don't you see you're wandering from God's word? You say you're a Christian, but you're wandering. You've never really been a true sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they come to me, and they follow him. They follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. Again in Proverbs 3 in the verse 5 there, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. We should never be wise in our own conceits. The first thing we need to understand is that God is wisdom and knowledge, and we are foolish, and so often we are wise in our own conceits. We are led astray by ourselves. We should never trust ourselves. So firstly, it is the man that goes out of the way of God's word. And then secondly, therefore, if it is a man that goes out of the way of God's word, it's a man that goes away from the gospel. Because the gospel is contained, is it not, in the word of God, the good news. But the gospel is more than good news. Let me say this. It's far more than good news. And I think churches need to hear it today. The gospel, what is the first thing it tells us to do? To repent. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ began his ministry? He cried, "Repent and believe the gospel." To repent means to turn from your own ways and to go on in the way that God says. You cannot do your will and God's will at the same time. You cannot serve yourself. You cannot serve riches and serve God. It demands that you turn. It's that word metanoia, repent. Have a change of mind. Have a change of heart. It means you must deny yourself. That's what the gospel really teaches you. The first thing is you must repent, turn, deny yourself, forsake yourself. The man that has gone out of the way of understanding is not only denied the word, but he's denied the gospel which is in the word. And he's a person, or she's a person, who is not denying themselves. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus? He said unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself." You see, if you're a wanderer, you're not denying yourself. But if you are Christ's disciple, you deny yourself. And then he says, "Take up his cross and follow me." And then he says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." There's the person that's not the wanderer. He's losing his life, saying, "Lord, you are the good shepherd, and whatever you say goes, and I will follow you. I will obey your commandments." Remember, the Lord said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." He says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and do not do as I say?" The man that has gone away from understanding, he will not deny himself. He may call the Lord Jesus his Lord. He may call him his Savior. But he's a wanderer. He follows the Lord when it suits him. Like those disciples in John chapter 6 who followed him no more. They followed him as far as they were prepared to go, and that was it. And the scripture says they followed him no more. They have departed from the one who is wisdom. They've departed from this very life of denying oneself and saying, "I will, instead of Lord doing this, I'll do that." Jesus says, you know, he says this, "Even about your siblings, even about your mother, even about your father," he says this in Matthew 10:36, "and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Are you prepared to have people in your own household as your foes? He says, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Friends, if we do not deny ourselves, we're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. We're a wanderer. And so this is this man. The Lord is called a shepherd, that we must follow him, and we must follow his word, and we must be prepared to follow him who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so here, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. The way of understanding. If you turn with me just quickly to Luke chapter 9, let me show you once again this whole concept of self-denial and the fact that we wander out of the way of understanding when we do not deny ourselves. In Luke 9, verse 57, we've got three illustrations here of people who would not deny themselves. And I want you to notice the extent to which the Lord asks them to deny themselves. In Luke 9:57, "And it came to pass that As they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see here, what is the problem in these cases? Well, I'll tell you what the problem is. People said, Yes, I'll follow you, Lord, I'll follow you wherever you tell me. But you know, when it came to the crunch, they wandered off. Something else was more important. And the whole issue is this. If things are more important to us than God, we have wandered away from Him. And we are not amongst the congregation of the just, the living. No matter what the Lord asks us to do, we must do it. If, as he says here, notice, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The person has taken the plow. The animal is forward and the fields are being plowed, but he looks back. He looks back all the time. He's got other things on his mind. What does his plowing look like? It looks like squiggles in the field. It's not straight. It's not fit for the kingdom of heaven. That's the picture. The Lord Jesus said it. You see, the whole thing is, dear friends, the Christian life is radical living. It's radical living. And let me say this. The Lord would never ask too much of His people. He knows just how much to ask. He doesn't put on His people more than they can bear. Now sometimes, I'll tell you this, by what He asks, He shows whether you are His or not. There are many today that are denying the Lord, especially His day. They've got other things they're doing. It's the Lord's day, and we honor the Lord of the day. Remember what He said. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. One of the marks, isn't it, of God's people, whether they obey His commandments. And there are so many of them, but we do it, of course, because we love the Lord and because we believe that this is the right way. He is our Creator and He tells us how to live. And if He has called us, if He truly is our Lord, and if we have put our hand to the plow and we say we're a Christian and we keep looking back at this world with a twinkle in our eye, He says, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. What is He saying? He's saying, you never really were born again, friend. My people are not like that. This is not work salvation, but this is a salvation that works in the heart. This is true salvation. This is a radical salvation. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. The man that looks back is a wanderer. A wanderer. I wonder, is this maybe you tonight? Your heart is divided between the world and the world's things still. I say this, you must be born again. You must be born again. This Christian life is not possible by nature. It's the work of God. It's God that worketh in us to will and to do His good pleasure. And I think for so many who would believe themselves to be Christians, and I'm not saying that Christians don't err. They do, like David and like the psalmist. Lord, I've gone astray. Yes, but it's not a constant battle against trying to please myself and pleasing God. No, the man that is a constant wanderer, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding, the way of truth. Well, what is the actually this man's state? Notice the verse, the last point. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. This is the point. He's in the congregation of the dead. He's not in the congregation of the living. He's still dead in his trespasses and sins. He's still a person of this world, and he's just deceiving himself like these others. Lord, I'll follow you. Yes, but when it came to the crunch, when it came to the call, I've got something else more pressing. Nobody like this, he says, is fit for the kingdom of heaven. These are not my people. These are not my disciples. Do you remember when he, there in John 6, said to his 12 disciples, as the great multitude of disciples followed him no more, he says, will you leave me also? Will you depart also? They said, no, no. Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where shall we go? Thou hast the words. And you see, the Christian, he holds on. The person that's truly born again, he loves this way of understanding. And he's not in the congregation of the dead. But the person that is a constant wanderer, who won't commit himself or herself, is still in the congregation of the dead, friends. You're not in the congregation of the living. Let's just go to the Psalm 1. There are two congregations. Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. See here, friend, look, stop, listen. Here's the person that loves God. He loves the way. He loves the way of God's word. Thy word giveth understanding. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Now notice, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. You see, the godly man, whatsoever he does, shall prosper. And I say, the Lord Jesus, did he not say, you shall know them by their fruits? Look at the people that say that they are the Lord's, they're plowing. Yep, they're always looking back. And there is nothing worthy of God in their lives. Their lives, as supposed Christians, are a mess. God says, that's not my people. Wandering. The man who is saved, his delight is in this way of understanding, in the law of the Lord. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Now, of course, if we read that parable of the talents, there are some that are given 5 talents and some 3. The man that had 1, what did he do? He squandered it, he buried it. Buried it in a handkerchief. No fruits. And there are degrees, are there not, in the life of Christian fruits? But friends, is there fruit? That's the big issue, isn't it? Is there fruit in your life? Well, if you're not saved, there won't be fruits. But if God saves you, you'll love this way. You'll love this way of understanding. But if you're constantly somebody that is resisting, you're wandering away from the gospel, you're wandering away, oh, Should I really commit my whole life to God? You're playing games. You're playing games with God, let me say. God says in his word, my son, give me thine heart, your whole heart. He doesn't want wondrous. He saves his people, that they should be a people zealous for good works, Titus chapter 2. That's why the Lord died, that he would have a people zealous for good works. Now, is there hope for the wanderer? That's the big question. Is there hope for the wanderer? Well, not apart from grace. And I come back to Isaiah 53 and the verse 6. And that verse is to all the elect, all we like sheep have gone astray, each one has turned to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, that is Christ, the iniquity of us all. And when they believe that with all their heart, they say, the Lord Jesus died for my sins. If he died for my sins, how can I live to myself any longer? For Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, he died for them, that they that live should no longer live unto themselves. Where are we? Are we wandering stars? As Jude says, are we wanderers? Or are we those that are looking for the Lord's leading every day, reading his word, desiring to follow him and to emulate him in our lives? Are we those people? Because if we are, friends, we can be sure that this shepherd laid down his life for us. But if we're constantly bickering and arguing, should I do this? Should I do that? Do I really have to submit to that? I say, you're in the congregation of the dead. You've never been made alive unto God. There's a sweet psalm I want to point you to as we close. It's the Psalm 74. And right in the beginning there, it's in the second verse, but I'll read in the verse 1. The psalmist records, O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why doth thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? You see, these were once stray sheep, friends. You see? But they're now the sheep of the Lord's pasture. And now what do we read? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old. They were purchased. What do you mean of old? Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, slain before the foundation of the world. And the psalmist knew that he was amongst that congregation of the righteous. Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed. You see that? Lord, we are thy sheep, the sheep of thy pasture. We have been purchased of long of old. It was determined by God in eternity past that Jesus Christ would come into this world and that he would buy a people for himself and that they would no longer be wanderers, but they would be led by the great shepherd. I am telling you, the so-called church is packed full of people who are wondrous. Wondrous. But there are amongst God's people who are faithful and true. If we are those who balk at Christ's word, be sure of it, we're in the congregation of the dead. And if we're in the congregation of the dead, we're in the congregation of the damned. And that's where we shall remain. And you say, well, How do I get this desire? I say this. Number one, you repent of your sins. And you ask God Almighty to give you a heart to repent. And you tell Him that you're not grieved enough over your sin, and you keep coming until you feel your sin. And you feel your unrighteousness. And pray to God, He will make you willing in the day of His power. That's the only way. Lord, make me thy sheep. What a solemn verse. He that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. You know, the Lord, I say with sanctified imagination this evening, He could draw a line down the middle of our gathering. And there would be those on the left, and there would be those on the right. They are those that are determined to leave here and to do God's will by the grace of God, and they will. Not perfectly, but they will. And there are those that are still determined to have their own way. But I'll say this, they shall remain in the congregation of the dead. May it not be so for you. Go to God with holy determination tonight. Go home. Get down on your knees. Get in the quietness of your bedroom and pray to God to make you willing in the day of His power to repent of your sins and to believe the gospel and to be changed by that gospel. The gospel not only is the good news that Jesus Christ died for sins, but the gospel of Jesus Christ lifts us up out of a life of sin and wandering to follow the one true shepherd from whom we have erred since the day we were born in this world. And He takes us to heaven by His grace. May we do so tonight by Him. May the Lord make many willing in the day of His power, according to His grace. Amen.